Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different wellness businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the first of that series, and I interview former client Noor Zibda, a functional and integrative dietitian. Noor has a very specific and very compelling niche. She helps people suffering from digestive issues, which has a laundry list of symptoms that fit into this bucket, discover and address the root cause of their illness. Noor is a bright light in her patients' wellness journey, often helping them find answers they've been seeking for years. In this episode, Noor talks about how her marketing has evolved, and she shares the important role that education plays in bringing patients to her practice. Noor also details her on-demand webinar, which serves as a 24/7 salesperson for the business. Noor, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and you've built this incredible business, or practice, should I say, helping patients with their gut health. And I know this topic has received a lot more attention in recent years, but for anyone who's listening, can you share just a little bit more about gut health and how it impacts your overall wellness?
Yeah, I mean, the gut is an amazing world down there or inside that we can't really see. And I truly believe it's the foundation of health. If you think that what you eat matters and who you are, what you eat, I'm always here to remind people that you are what you digest and absorb, and that's what the gut does. So you can eat the best food and like a lot of nutrient-rich food, but if you cannot absorb it, the body cannot use it. You cannot make the hormones and the enzymes and the tissue and beautiful hair and skin and muscles for, you know, if you want to work out. And so it's that system that's going to absorb the nutrients and enable your body to use them. So that's number one. The other thing is it hosts the microbiota, which is the bacteria in our bodies. They are going to be in our skin and other parts of the body, but most of the beneficial bacteria is in the colon. And they're going to help us fight bad pathogens or microbes. They make nutrients for us. They also use up the fiber in our diet in order to give us protective benefits in terms of cardiovascular disease and diabetes and other things. And so we do need those bacteria, and we need to make sure they have a good place to be. And another, you know, thing I always remind people is that your gut is a continuation of your skin. So your skin, as it reaches your mouth, it flips, and that becomes the lining of the digestive system. And it's actually a larger surface area than your skin, and we don't see it. So, you know, it really protects us from pathogens and bacteria that comes in our food, in water. Like we cannot live in a sterile world. We're going to be exposed to things. And so the gut and that hosts the immune system and our healthy bacteria, we need to make sure it's healthy so that these function properly and we are in good health.
Wow. So I hear a couple really important things here, Noor. And I think one is that first distinction between what you eat and what you digest. I don't know if I've heard it put that way, kind of in like the general media, if you will. And I just think that's really important, which is why I want to repeat it for anyone who's listening, that what you eat isn't always what you digest. And I think, you know,
if someone's having problems with their gut health or other symptoms, which we'll talk about in a second, really looking at it from a digestion point of view is, I think, really interesting and probably not something that the average Western doctor is necessarily looking at.
I mean, that's true. Unfortunately, in the typical medical model is that if, you know, like, let's just say your thyroid hurts or you know, you're seeing an endocrinologist, which I'm not saying you shouldn't, but if it's an autoimmune issue, and that's like kind of, now we jumped into like a lot of stuff, really the gut can be the root of many causes and root of inflammation. So unfortunately, like, the specialists are going to look at the organ or the system that's within their specialty, but they're not going to trace it back to the gut. And they may tell the patient, you know, you have to eat healthy, you have to, you know, eat more of this, less of that. But, you know, addressing digestion and assimilation of those building blocks and the nutrients to make things that we need is often sort of overlooked and not really emphasized.
That kind of leads me to my next question, which is, like, what are some of the common symptoms or conditions that your patients struggle with? Because you hinted at the gut can really be the root cause of some other much bigger issues that may feel a little more widespread and generic, like something autoimmune, or even in your bio, I listed some of the conditions. So can you just share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So the symptoms of having digestive issues are clearly digestive, like, you know, a problem with the gut is that clearly digestive issues. So anybody with stomach pain, bloating, gas, diarrhea or constipation. Sometimes people have both. Excessive burping or belching, acid reflux, heartburn. These are all like within the digestive system. And it's pretty easy for people to understand that, okay, this is a gut problem. Now, where it's more interesting is that things like brain fog, headache, mood swings and depression. So think like cognitive head brain issues. And I want to call them issues. They're symptoms, they're nuances, like things that prevent you from being at your optimal health and productivity as well too. Skin issues like psoriasis, which is an autoimmune condition, but rosacea, eczema, hives and itching, sinus issues, fatigue, joint and muscle pain. All of those, you know, I refer to them as systemic issues. And if you have certain microbes, and I say microbes because they could be yeast or fungus or bacteria or parasites that shouldn't be there, or sometimes in the wrong place in your gut, like with SIBO, or you have developed food sensitivities because your gut is not healthy, your immune system is going haywire, and now like your body is creating inflammation because of what you eat and because of what's going on in the gut, now you're going to start to see the symptoms everywhere. And sometimes it's not eating wrong foods. Like the body, the immune system and the digestive system is failing at keeping food recognized as safe. And now the immune system tags it and creates inflammation in the body because it's fighting it. It doesn't think that it's safe. So then that creates a variety of symptoms all over the body. And that's, you know, some people are, it takes some time for them to realize or to connect that this is a gut issue and I need to address the gut. Oh, I forgot to mention, I may have done headaches and migraines. A lot of people are seeking neurology help, which is, again, it's important to check that. It's important to make sure your teeth are not grinding and, you know, your eyes, your vision is doing well, but is everybody looking at the gut and the food component? And not everybody knows that food can trigger headaches as well too.
Yeah. And what I love about your work too is it's not, this is the only way to solve this problem, but this might be a big component of what's causing all these problems. So work with me and whatever specialist also needs to be keeping an eye on some of these other maybe special, you know, individual organs or something else that's going on. And I will just say it's nice to have maybe a more holistic and natural way to figure out what's going on.
100%. I think what I have been able to help a lot of people over the years, I was going through some old files and I'm like, it's nice to be able to reflect on the progression of myself as a person, as a professional in my business and practice. But a lot of times people have seeked the traditional routes and they're worked with other people sometimes at the same time, or they've kind of exhausted these options and now they're working with me. But I guess the diet is a very big component, but I don't think it's right to say like the diet is the only solution and my way is the only way. I think that's very alienating to people. And I think it is holistic. Like you can eat the best foods and do the amazing tests and take the supplements. But if you don't address stress, you're never going to heal. So I think it's really important to take it from a holistic approach.
I think that's amazing. And so let's say someone's listening to this podcast right now and they're like, oh gosh, that sounds like some of what I'm struggling with. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you would help someone and when you think someone is really ready to work with you?
Yeah, so I tend to, at this point in my practice, I tend to focus on the digestive issues or healing, repairing the gut. And so almost 100% of the people I work with, I run food sensitivity testing for them because they've done other diets. They've tried to eliminate certain foods. I'm not going to label anything necessarily, but they have done some sort of elimination where they eliminate some food categories where they feel they may trigger inflammation, but it didn't really get them results. So at this point, I know I don't want to waste their time and we just want to get the diet to be customized because each person is unique and their immune system and their digestion is unique. So I run a food sensitivity test, which is a blood test. I don't know if you have international listeners. It's only available in the U.S. I've been able to work with people internationally, but that specific component, unfortunately, just possible to do in the U.S. So I customize the diet with them. I always start with the diet. I think this is also another component that gets missed. Even when people work with functional medicine doctors and naturopathic doctors, they run the test to look at the underlying root causes, and the doctors believe in the diet, but they're still not customizing it to the patient. And so a big piece of it gets missed. And I really feel like calming down the inflammation is very important. I always give people the example, you could be reacting to salmon or chicken or blueberries or even turmeric, which is supposed to be really healthy for you. Any herb or spice could trigger the immune system. So if you don't really know what it is, you're going to be stuck and you're not going to be able to overcome the issue. So I start with food sensitivity testing and I order a couple of other tests, usually always a stool test, because I want to know what is underlying. And a lot of times people think the solution is probiotic or the solution is taking like a certain herb that because they suspect they have a condition. And I think what happens is a lot of these microbes or conditions overlap in symptoms. And so sometimes people might feel like, oh, I must have SIBO, or gosh, this is H. pylori or Candida, but turns out it's something else. And so it's really important to know what is going on and to do the test. Not every test is like 100%, we have to interpret things properly. But I like the test because it gives me guidance and there are hundreds of supplements that are possible. And so there's no way I'm going to recommend this to everyone. So we need to be focused and targeted. And so really the people I work with tend to have digestive issues, but sometimes I've worked with people who their main condition issue is I get sick a lot. I always have allergies. I always have sinus pain. I end up taking a lot of antibiotics for sinus infections. I've worked with people who have more skin issues. So if any of the conditions or symptoms that I've mentioned is something, you're dealing with, whoever's listening dealing with, I think it's really important to address the gut. Now, some people wait until they're rock bottom and they can't do this anymore and their health is really deteriorating or deteriorated. But other people know in tune that this is not right. I can function at a better level. I'd love to get rid of my brain fog. I know I need to be more productive for my family or for my work. So I think there's no right time to be sick. And so I think if people are more in tune with their body, they don't have to wait in order to do this kind of gut repair and healing work.
Of course. And probably ideally you're not at rock bottom because there's a lot of healing that has to happen on the back end of that, right? So if you can optimize where you're at now when you're having fewer symptoms, then it's a little more proactive approach than reactive, I would assume.
Yeah, definitely. If somebody had a condition or their symptoms for 10 years, it's going to take more time. And unfortunately, I've worked with people who have had their issues for 30 years or so. So times are different now, but obviously the sooner you try to fix the problem, the less complicated it will be and faster, the results will be faster.
Yeah. And to be fair, no one was really talking about gut health 30 years ago, you know, so there's definitely a lot of education, I imagine, that's been part of your business journey in order to help patients understand, like, everything's connected to the gut. And it's not just about stomach pain, like, there's so much else that goes on with the gut.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I had I remember a patient who was about in her 60s. And she's like, gosh, I wish I met you 30 years ago. And I looked at her, I was like, you know, I was probably 5 or 30 years ago, so I wouldn't have been able to help you. And it's kind of interesting. I think some people, like, we have some remedies we've learned from our parents and grandparents in every culture. It doesn't matter from East or the West. Like, and people used to eat better ways. People used to be less stressed out. So I think there is wisdom also that was there 30 years ago. I think now we're connected more. There's the internet that's allowing us to learn more. We're definitely under more stress. There's more exposure to chemicals and pollutants. And, you know, that's another topic to get into. But the science and the research both have developed a lot. And there are a lot of tools in our hands that we can use now.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you two questions about that. One is, you mentioned the food sensitivities test. And I know sometimes people can feel a little like, oh my gosh, am I going to have to be on a restrictive diet forever? And I guess my question to you is, once someone's healed, can their diet open up a little bit after you've put them on this more restrictive protocol?
Yes, definitely. And this is kind of my least favorite part of the plan, is to put somebody on a restrictive diet. Nobody comes to me and says, please take away my favorite foods. Like, people are usually, you know, they want something's bothering them with their health. Something is not right. And it's so interesting how the things that you use in, like, even like personal growth, I use that also with my patients. Every time you say yes, no to something, you're saying yes to something else. So every time we're saying no to a certain group of foods now, we're saying yes to healing and feeling better. So this is a compromise. Right now, short term, in order to help your body recover, to improve digestion, get rid of the underlying root cause, and then we'll expand your options. Now, there are some times I can't do that. So if somebody has an allergy, so true allergies where you have an anaphylactic reaction, this is very hard to overcome. And I tell people this is not my training or my scope to teach your immune system how to do that. You need to work with an allergist in a medical situation, like if they have a program, because that's anaphylactic response. I don't feel comfortable with that. If somebody has celiac disease, which is an autoimmune condition where the body attacks your digestive system if you eat gluten, there's nothing in my hands that I can do in order to help these situations. Few other, like some people, you know, with autoimmune conditions tend to also have problems with gluten. But for the most part, like people with irritable bowel syndrome or acid reflux or bloating, we're able to have a variety of foods once the healing happens. And so it's hard to always make like guarantees in medicine, and nutrition is part of it. But we improve the chances of being able to eat a variety of foods. And for the most part, I see my patients going back to a normal way of eating, enjoying a meal with a family or going out to a nice, like healthy-ish. It doesn't have to be super perfect, but just eating in a nice restaurant. And that's a typical sort of expectations once we finish working together.
I like that term, healthy-ish. It's kind of like your cheat day or, you know. So Nora, you also hinted at toxins and pollutants, and maybe you could just speak a little bit about that for anyone who's listening in case that's a new concept for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to go into the organic, you know, because there's a lot of more people who are more qualified to have done the environmental work on that. But we know that there are certain foods produced that are going to absorb the pesticides and the chemicals that are sprayed on the produce in order to prevent insects and bugs and things like that. So if somebody is listening, and we can put that in the notes, the Environmental Working Group, they every year they publish a list called the Dirty Dozen. And these 12 tend to have the highest pesticide load. And I would recommend these to invest in those and in buying organic. And then the Clean 15, it's a list of 15 foods that tend to be low in pesticides. An example would be banana. So like, don't spend extra on organic banana, but it's worth it to spend extra on organic apples. So this helps people kind of manage their finances and resources when it comes to, you know, buying. But we have that, we have like conventionally grown, you know, beef, for example. You know, the cattle are fed more corn and grains, which is supposed to make them fattier and grow faster, but then that's not what cows are naturally supposed to be eating. Like, we always envision a cow on a grass field in a beautiful field and getting some sun. That's not what's happening. So I feel like also the food system is not optimal. You know, we also have a lot of processed ingredients, like popcorn in the microwave. It's impact, like, you know, unless you're looking for something that is specifically, you know, labeled with without the chemicals or the organic and non-organic compounds, you're gonna have aluminum in packaging, you're gonna have the microwavable plastic bags for like produce and vegetables. And so we're getting exposed to a lot of plastic in our food supply, water bottles, which I don't recommend regular use of, like the plastic water bottles. So I think over time, these affect our hormones, could affect the gut, and potentially affect our health.
Sure. And it depends on, like, it's kind of like a ripple effect, right? Or what do they say, the straw that broke the camel's back, right? It might, one of these items on its own isn't necessarily enough to cause major problems. But if you combine a lot of things, then maybe it's having an impact on your health and you didn't really realize some of these small changes that you can make that aren't that hard, like using a reusable water bottle or using popcorn that's not in the microwave, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think this happens in autoimmune conditions. Like, a lot of people who have a diagnosis, they are wondering like how or why. And we know there's a genetic component, but we know environmental issues happen where it could be like increased load on the liver, on the body, and maybe they had a lot of stress at work or somebody going through grad school or some other form of stress in their life. And they got exposed to a bug or food poisoning or, you know, stomach flu, right? Like, it's casual. A lot of people have it. But, you know, those elements, all of them combined, and then suddenly your immune system can start to attack parts of your body. So we do what we can do in our knowledge and within our ability to change. And, you know, you just, you do your best with what you can.
Of course. And I'll share a small story because I don't think he'll mind me sharing. But for example, my husband was having some non-gut related challenges. And when we ran some tests on his environmental load, kind of toxin load, it was, the levels were pretty high. And then when we talked to the doctor, it kind of all made sense. Like, he's around, he's flying small planes, he's fueling them, he's involved in the de-icing. Like, there's a lot of chemicals around that. And so their recommendation was to reduce some of the other toxic load that was happening for him. And we would have never put two and two together like that, right? Even though it seems obvious on the back end, like, we just wouldn't have thought without running a test that's what was going on. So it's, I think it's really fascinating and interesting that there are alternative solutions to some of these seemingly very painful problems. And there's people like you, Noor, that can help people make sense of what's going on with me.
Yeah. I mean, I always ask people like what they do for a living or where they spend their day or their time, because like people who work with chemicals, like in a hair salon, for example, or I had somebody who used to be a lab technician, and I don't remember exactly, but he was, you know, things triggered when he was in grad school working a lot of like chemicals in the lab. Some people work with like lawn and, you know, they with treating lawns for like a golf course or something like that. So yes, what in the, and your husband is another example. So all these, this is all part of the picture. It's very important.
Yeah. So Noor, on that note, like talking about what you do, how did you get started down this path, and why did you ultimately start your practice?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been interested in health. My dad is a doctor, and so It's interesting. He's very conventional. He's a great doctor, but we don't always, we have our differences in opinion, but we have always like been interested in health and the human body. And I started studying nutrition and I loved it. And that's, you know, I started working the traditional sort of the step-by-step process is like, you did my undergrad, I did my internship. And part of it was a hospital. And then I worked in a hospital where I did my training. And what's happened in the hospital is, number one, I was pregnant. So I was kind of knew there was going to be a transition. I was pregnant with my first child. But the problem with the hospital is that we saw people when they were really sick and towards, I don't want to say the end of the road, but they've missed an opportunity to learn and make changes. And so the example is like, I remember walking into somebody's room and they had their parts of their foot amputated because of uncontrolled diabetes. And this is very, very sad and unfortunate. But here I am trying to explain to him what to eat when he has to deal with this new trauma and shock in his life. And so it felt like it wasn't the right place to be coaching and teaching and, you know, helping people make those changes. So it wasn't a prevention. It was, you know, after. Plus, unfortunately, in the hospital, there were a lot of, you know, even like the foods that we were given or the shakes or the supplements that we were supposed to give people. I know there's benefit in them in terms of like adding calories to somebody who's malnourished, but it felt like I'm giving my patients a lot of processed stuff because that's what's available and that's what's the hospital is giving. And so when I used to look at the ingredients, like that's like sugar, processed vegetable oils, it just was disheartening for me. So between these, I felt like it wasn't the right place to educate and prevent. I also was starting to have a family and of my own, and I had family overseas. And so I realized after you do college and you have summer break and you go whatever you want, that when you become an adult, you don't have summer break anymore. And I was like, how am I going to travel 20 hours to see my family and only have like a week or two of vacation? And this was really important to me. So I started my practice and I started doing like consulting here and there. And I started my practice really like, you know, for personal reasons, but also because I felt I could help people better when I'm on my own. And 10 years, almost 10 years now, here I am. And it definitely evolved. I used to be able to, I mean, I still am able to help people with a lot of health conditions, but over the years, I started getting to see more people with digestive issues. I never thought this would be my thing or my passion, but, you know, it's just all the people who I couldn't help starting out. I was so motivated to learn and try to understand and figure out ways to help them. And that's how this became my niche or niche and digestive issues became my thing.
Well, first of all, I love that you now have the freedom to both help people, but also kind of design your life around work rather than the other way around. Or no, it would be the other way around. Design your work around your life rather than design your life around work. But I also think there's something really interesting there about niching down that I just am curious, has that kind of exploded things for your business in a way maybe you didn't imagine in the beginning?
Yes. I think at some point in my life, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go into the functional medicine, nutrition world and versus coaching, health coaching. And I had a life coach way back, and it was kind of nice. Like sometimes people tell you things and they stick with you. And she was like, naturally she told me about myself that I am curious, and I have the curiosity to just want to solve problems. And that is a strength that health coaching, while it's great, I'm not, you know, saying health coaching is empowering the person in front of you to find the answers for themselves. And so one of my strengths, I discovered that I actually do like to solve problems. So I take it on me to help the person in front of me. So that aligned better with what I'm doing. So that's kind of one way where I pivoted into doing training in functional nutrition and functional medicine and digging deep sort of into the health issues and looking at it from the nutrition perspective. So I started seeing everybody from that lens. But then I remember, and you'll know, like we had a business coach and that's how we met. And I was trying to do like weight loss wellness program while also trying to talk to my patients who are struggling with digestive issues. And I felt like I can't be consistent. Like I'm talking to two different people and it was very difficult for me to get the message and to get to the right person. But also it was difficult for me on day-to-day basis because I had to be good at cardiovascular disease and diabetes and weight loss and then also to the gut issues. And the gut issues are like a can of worm. Like it's a lot of stuff, even on the digestive issues. So to try to be great at everything was very difficult. Now I just have to be great at being a digestive dietitian, digestive disorders. And some things kind of like the systemic that we mentioned are related to the gut. But I don't have to be a good sports nutritionist. I don't have to be a good diabetes educator or cardiovascular disease. I'm more than happy to refer out and for people who are better than me to do these, working with these people and those conditions, I'm happy to refer out and I get to do what I'm really good at. And so that immediately eliminates a lot of overwhelm from my life and from my brain. And it enabled me to focus on what I do.
I'm smiling over here because I think it's a really common journey for most business owners to go through that process, and that simplification for your life and your business also ends up simplifying your marketing a lot, because it's a lot of work to do marketing for one target audience, let alone two or three or six.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of us in business, like we want to help people. That's one thing that motivates us to do this. And you feel like, gosh, but I can't help like those 15 other people. But you're spreading yourself too thin and then you don't help anyone. And so I feel like it's kind of being okay with referring and not like, you know, being okay to tell somebody, I may not be the best person to help you. Let me send you other person's information. And I think it's empowering for me and for them as well.
It is. It is. So on that note, typically what we're trying to do on this podcast is shine a light a little bit on your marketing journey as well, because I think there's so much to learn from other businesses in your own industry and other industries about what's working for them. Because I find sometimes we overcomplicate marketing or we do things in the wrong sequence. And you've done such a good job, in my opinion, with your marketing, with educating, with narrowing in on your target audience and putting the right content in front of people so they're ready to work with you. And I'd just love to dive into that a little bit deeper, if that's okay with you, Noor.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy that you think I'm doing a good job, because I don't think this is my strength, but maybe it is and I don't know it. It's, I think in maybe like if you have specific questions, I think really the most important thing is just knowing who you help or who I help and really listening. I think, you know, listening to the people I work with, and I take notes in my head. I have a document where people will tell me the things that are keeping them up at night and literally and figuratively, because they can't sleep from heartburn or, you know, stomach pain, but really, and like trying to understand them and making sure that every person, like the content that I'm putting out, it's talking to that person, because there are hundreds of other people who are having the same issue. It's not just one. And there are a lot of commonalities. And so I think a lot of times people think like, oh, well, let me design my logo or let me design my business card. I don't know who's handing out business cards. I think it's anymore. I think it's really, I know. I think it's really the message, like really understanding who you serve and how you serve them and the value that you add and me or you and anybody listening. I think that's really the biggest, most important thing I found.
Yeah, I could not agree anymore. I think once you figure that out, everything else becomes so much easier, because you know who you're speaking to, how you're speaking to them, and you also know where they're spending their time and energy. But when you don't have that figured out, it's hard to figure out what do I need to say and who mm-hmm. do I need to say it to and where do I need to be finding them, which is kind of where people get stuck. In my opinion, they think about where should I be finding them before they figured out who am I talking to and what should I be saying.
Yeah. And you know, people find me on I think Facebook. A few years ago, I started doing Facebook Lives, and I'm guilty of not, you know, doing it as going live as much as I would like to. And I think also like the social media platforms keep changing, and it's hard to always keep up. But sometimes I do like automations where I have my Instagram and Facebook connected and they just post together at the same time. I kind of decided I'm not on Twitter because I cannot fit anything I say in like, what, 120 characters? I don't know how long it is. I talk a lot. So there's just no way. I'm like, okay, Twitter is going. And I like to do like YouTube. Again, it's everything. Like I feel like with marketing, we can all do better. Like I can always do more. But sometimes like I have one video where I talk about H. pylori that has 70,000 views on it. And I'm like, wow. Now I looked at it one day and I was like, man, there are ads on it now. Like I didn't even set that up. I don't know if that worked. So I think it's like, it could be the most boring video, but for the right person, this is exactly what they need. And it's so educational. And I get a lot of messages and comments. And that video brought me several patients who referred other patients. And so I feel like, again, like teaching, I think also teaching people and is really important, and opening their eyes to things or possibilities that they didn't realize existed is really helpful as well.
Yeah, I think especially in the health and wellness space, people are choosing solutions differently than they chose in the past, meaning it's not just your doctor who tells you what to do and you're not involved or informed or empowered in the process. And I think that's what I think you do so well, is you are taking an education first approach so that people can then feel empowered to choose the next best solution for them.
Yes, I think people are smart. The people I work with are very smart. They're educated. They're empowered. And they're unfortunately, they're also frustrated and feeling lost as well, too. And that's why they reach out. But establishing yourself as an authority is really important as well too. Doesn't mean you're the only one. There are a lot, and I think maybe that's why. And it's always a work in progress. Like what makes what I do differently than other people, than other dietitians or other providers, and that doesn't mean someone is better than someone else. It's just each person has an angle or a perspective, and if that aligns with the right patient, then we are a good fit. And if it's not, there are other people who would be a good fit for me, and other providers would be a good fit for that person. So I think also not being attached to the outcome. I think in the beginning, I was definitely like, oh my God, like I need the clients, I need the patients. But now, you know, I know there will be ups and downs. It's a roller coaster. Some months I have more people signing in and signing on, and other months less. But that's okay. That's normal. And just knowing the value of what I add and know that I help people, I change their lives, and that's enough for me.
I think that's beautifully said, Noor. And I do know when you're in that transition of not just you, but any business owner of being attached to the outcome and learning how not to be, it can feel, it's hard. It's hard because in the beginning, you are trying to create consistent revenue in the business. And so it can be hard not to be attached to the outcome of your marketing and sales process. But I think when you are able to remove yourself from it, then you see your marketing in a different way and you see your work in a different way, which is a nice place to move to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I still like kind of, if I feel like, okay, this wasn't a very I don't have meet my goals for new clients. You know, I'm not going to say it doesn't affect me. It does affect me, but I think it's like that kind of good stress. It pushes me to say, okay, where am I not doing as well as I can do? Or where am I not putting energy? And usually it's a cycle, a 90-day cycle for me. So I have clients, I'm very busy in delivering the service, which is the meeting with them, going over their test results, and so focused on this that the marketing kind of gets forgotten a little bit. And then I realized 3 months later, okay, now it affects me. And so I think, you know, it's always important to always remember like sales and marketing, it shouldn't stop. But even if it does, then I know, okay, this is what I need to do to make more offers, to make myself, you know, visible to the right person, and then the outcome will follow.
Absolutely. So there are you mentioned social media, but there are a couple key marketing assets I'd just love to touch on briefly. So you have this amazing educational webinar that is, I will link in the show notes for anyone who's interested in watching it, but that talks about IBS. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about what this webinar, what role it plays in your marketing.
Mm-hmm. So this is a webinar that I set up with one of the business coach that I work with. And this was great. It really helped me because for anybody listening, it is a pre-recorded webinar. It's an evergreen webinar. But it's something where it's called, let me just get the official, like the actual name. It is the 5-step complete solution to IBS. So in this webinar, like I summarize sort of my approach and maybe the reasons why people aren't getting the results that they're looking for. And I teach them a little bit of things that they can try. So I do mention like some diets that they can try on their own. So I try to teach a little bit, but also to share, you know, if somebody has tried a few things, why weren't they able to get the results that they want? And what are the gaps or the they're missing? So this serves as a way to educate, but also to sell what I do in my one-to-one coaching. So when setting that up, it allows, if somebody is kind of interested in what I do and interested in working with me, but they're not there yet, this is a great way for them to listen, to warm up to the idea, to see if my approach aligns with what they feel is right for them. And it saves me an hour. So instead of me getting on a phone, talking to somebody for an hour, telling them everything that I told just the person before them, it just makes, you know, creating that system in the business. So it's much easier for me to send them that video to sign up to that webinar. And I do my best to educate. I know a lot of us sign up to like webinars where you're like, the one thing you have to do to save your life or business. And then you listen for an hour and you're like, gosh, I haven't learned anything. This was a waste of time. So I made sure, at least in my intention, that this is not a waste of time. If somebody's going to spend an hour with me, they're going to learn something, whether they work with me or not. So a lot of people do sign up to work with me. And so it's another like one of those machines that are running in my business. So I was sending ads to this webinar on Facebook. And the nice thing is, it's very unlikely that somebody is going to see my ad and then just make a big investment to work with me one-to-one if it's the first time they see me. But I'm inviting them to attend the free webinar. And so it's another thing also to make me feel good as a person, is I want to help people. I can't help everybody for free, but I do have my website where I would write articles. I have this webinar. I have social media. So I feel like I'm giving things where people can learn. And then if they need to more, then, you know, they would have to come and work with me. So it's a way for me to teach without the pressure. And it helps run my business. So the ads were going to this webinar. And so I was tracking conversions, how many people attend, how many people show up live, how many people eventually book a strategy session with me who came from that ad. I don't know if it's like 100%. You know, there's always like the pixels and all these things that I may not understand. Like I had somebody help me set it up. But at least like it's way to generate business. And it's kind of nice because I took 2 years and I moved overseas to spend time with my family. And I let the ads run. And so it's kind of helpful if I am not able to go and create a social media marketing plan. The ad was running, was sending the information to the right people or showing it to the right people. So it helped. It felt like a machine running in the background, helping me generate new leads. So I thought it was really a nice setup, and it's still available and people can still attend. So I think it's, if anybody wants to watch it to learn, or if they actually do have digestive issues and also are interested, I think it could be go both ways.
Yeah. And I love a couple things about this. In particular, one, just to highlight, hey, it's a way for you to spend an hour with a prospective patient without you actually being available during that hour. So it's really leveraged in terms of your time, because you are a mom of three, if I'm right. Like you can't spend an hour with every single person, presumably, that might be interested in your services. And you really only want to spend your phone time with someone who's really ready for the next step or close to ready for the next step. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really smart way to do that. And then I love the piece that you mentioned is, once you had this asset in place, you could start running ads in a way that didn't require so much reliance on organic content and gave you the freedom to go see your family.
Yeah, definitely. And I was still seeing my patients and clients, but then It took off the pressure from the sales and marketing. I knew something was running in the background.
Absolutely. And then there's two other pieces I'd love to highlight. One is your emails. I was just reading your email this morning about prebiotics. And once someone signs up for your email list, you just do such a wonderful job understanding who your target audience is and what they're struggling with, to your point earlier. And I imagine that makes it a lot easier for you to create consistent emails, because I know that's something that can be hard for any business owner.
Yeah. And I'm trying to repurpose like something that I post on social media. Like, can I just change the format and then also send it to my email list? Because I've noticed that it's not the same people. Some people read my emails, some people interact on Instagram, and other people interact on Facebook. So it's just not always the same. And sometimes we think like, oh, I'm repeating myself, but you know, not everybody's going to read every email or every post. So I think it's nice to do that. I get a lot of emails, people saying like responding, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't respond to your email. And so for me, that's a sign that yes, like I'm talking to the right person, like I'm making them feel important. The message is a mass email, but that person felt like I was talking to them. And so it's kind of nice like to feel the intimacy, sort of like the relationship. Yeah, I think email is great. I definitely use it to help warm up leads. But I mean, here's an interesting thing I want to share with you, like, because you taught me when we did, you know, when we worked together, you taught me to track like how many days somebody comes on my list and then how many days it takes them to become a client. And to my surprise, I realized that people who become clients have been on my list for 2 weeks or less. Most of them are super warm and ready to do something about their health. They're not waiting 5 months or 6 months or a year. So this was really cool because it tells me that my automation, like sometimes we're like worried about putting ourselves out there and selling from the beginning, but people are looking for the solution. And if I don't tell them that I have the solution very quickly, they may miss it or miss the opportunity. So that was kind of like a learning lesson for me. And then the other thing is, at some point I maxed my like email marketing, and then I was like, oh, should I invest? And I realized that all the offers like they were giving me from the email software, they would be great if my sort of I need to nurture somebody and tag and segment and do all these things for like months. And then I realized that I don't really don't need all of that. You know, they're in and they're in very quickly and they're ready very quickly. So it helped me to decide that, okay, I don't need to spend additional money. I'm spending money on the software, but I don't need to double the investment in it. It's doing exactly what I need to do. So it just helped me make decisions, financial decisions for my business.
Gosh, I just love that. And I agree that when you have some data from your marketing, it does allow you to make better decisions. So for example, understanding that, hey, many people are making decisions within 2 weeks helps you understand, do I want to bump up my Facebook ad spend? Because those leads that I'm bringing in are making decisions quickly, versus I have some clients where it's like a year and a half or 2 years before someone converts. So there's kind of those lead and lag metrics that I think as a business owner, it's nice to be in a place where you can make decisions that's not just based on your gut, but also based on, hey, here's some of the numbers that are actually happening in the business. And I think the only way you're able to get there is over time. And as your marketing system refines, it's not, those aren't numbers you just get overnight.
Mm-hmm. No, I have like 3 years maybe worth of data. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then question for you is, the way right now that people get on your email list primarily either through your webinar or your freebie about how to identify the real causes of your gut problems?
Yes. So I have two things in the homepage. If somebody clicks, there's to attend a free training or class. So this is the webinar. And on the homepage, if they scroll down, there is a guide or a PDF where it's a freebie and they sharing the real root causes of the gut problems. So both ways are two ways in.
Yeah. Well, Noor, I really appreciate you sharing kind of the behind the scenes of your marketing along with everything you do to help people. And so I'd just love to wrap up by asking you, if you had to give one piece of advice to another business owner who's working on their marketing and growing their business, what would it be?
Yes. I mean, a lot of tips, but I would say, you know, confidence comes with practice. And you got it. Like, you know more than you think. And what comes easily to some of us in our own expertise is actually difficult for other people. And that's the value that you're adding. So don't wait until somebody tells you you're allowed to do this or you're allowed to start your business. You have what it takes, and just go out there and do it and help people and help yourself have a good life as well too.
Thank you, Noor. I so appreciate you sharing all this. Where can people go to check out what you do and everything we mentioned?
I try to be on social media, Instagram and Facebook. So it's my first and last name is the handle Noor Zibdeh, and the website is also noorzibdeh.com. I know it's not a very common name, but it's also easily to be found because there are not that many people with my name. But website or Facebook or Instagram.
Wonderful. And all of those links will be in the show notes for anyone who's listening. So go check them out. And thank you again, Noor.
Thank you for having me.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.